Welcome to The Sage Sayers, my bi-weekly podcast on business communications tips and strategies and ways to find and see the gift in life's challenges. I'm your show host, DG McCullough, Debbie Gardiner McCullough. I'm an executive communications coach from New Zealand based in the state of Wisconsin. Each episode, we help you feel a little less stuck and the challenges coming up for communicators in these very trying times. And we interview those who've reinvented, triumphed, and used effective communications with themselves and others to bring positive life change. Season 4, Episode 7. My guest today is John Chang, and he's right with me right now, so I'm not going to say any more about him. He can introduce himself. John, welcome to The Sage Sayers.
Thank you, Debbie. Hi, hello, everyone. My name is John Chang. I came from China and become a violinist in the States for over 3 decades.
No way.
Yes.
That's quite a long time.
I know. But for the past decade, I went back to China to play in 2 or 3 different orchestras as a concertmaster and an associate concertmaster. Since the pandemic starts, so I moved back to the States. And now I live in the States now. I live in New York City.
Fantastic. Well, and yes. I'll offer our listeners a little context on how we met, if that's okay.
Oh, sure. Yes.
So we met literally yesterday in Chicago. It was a serendipitous meeting. We were at the La Quinta Hotel at the very crowded breakfast buffet. There was absolutely nowhere to sit.
Yes.
We headed at rush hour and you and I sat opposite one another and I was happily reading. You were happily on your phone. And then I said hello and we got chatting.
Yes.
So it's
a coincidence.
It was a big coincidence. So you've been here 30 years. What part of China did you move away from? Rural or big city China?
Yes. I was born and grew up in the southern part of China, which is Canton province. It's called Guangzhou, the city of Guangzhou.
What's it famous for?
Famous for their Cantonese food.
Ooh, making me hungry.
Oh, yes. And it's very hot there. And also, it's just like Florida in China.
Really?
Yes, it's the most southern part of China. Yes.
And do you mind me asking, what was your American dream? What brought you to the U.S.?
Oh, I always wanted to be a good violinist. That's my dream.
Were you already playing before you left? You played violin as a boy?
Yes. I grew up in Guangzhou and then I went to, this is called, how do you say, the home for the youth, something like that. Okay. And they have orchestra band there. So I joined the orchestra there and then I become one of the member and then for like 4 or 5 years and then move on college and then I joined the college orchestra. And the high school college, not college, it's high school. I joined the high school band orchestra. And then my teacher said, why don't you just try to audition for music college? So I did that and then I got accepted. So I went to the conservatory in Guangzhou. And since then, I established my professional career as a violinist from there on.
Fantastic. And
yes.
What year was it when you moved to the States, John?
Early 90s.
Oh, so similar to me. I arrived here in 1996. What was swirling? What was the States like around that time, 1990?
I think it's exactly in the 90s.
What do you remember? What was going on in New York at the time?
I was in a school called Hart School of Music, which is a university, but they have a music department there. They have a very good faculty there. While I was there, the Emerson Student Quartet was teaching there. So it was quite a good school. The reason I went to that school is that because they offered me full scholarship.
My goodness. What an honor, John. So how old were you when you took it and arrived?
I was like around 20s. Yes.
Amazing.
Yes. I went to the school because my English was not so good. So I studied English and then on the side, I take lessons from many teachers in the school and from outside. So I didn't take any degrees from that school. So they offered me a so-called artist diploma. which is nothing. So the only thing I need to do is just play the orchestra. That's all I need to do. So, play orchestra and play chamber music, take lessons, and that's it. So I was there, my English improved, and I thought I need to move on. So I came to New York City after that.
Wow. And where was the school based? Were you before New York City? What part of the States was it?
You mean the first school I went to?
Yeah. Where was that first school based?
That was in Hartford, Connecticut.
Aha. Uh-huh. So quite a transition, huh, to New York?
Oh, yes. Yes.
And,
yeah.
And what was that like coming to New York from Connecticut and earlier from China?
Well, when I first time arrived Connecticut, I thought the countryside was beautiful. You know, just surrounded by mountains, and especially in the fall, it's so beautiful. But it's really, really a quiet city, not that much going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up in a big city, so I felt I was like a city boy. So I feel more comfortable to live in New York City because I like many things going on around me. So I moved to New York, and then the dream school I wanted to go is the Juilliard School. So and I did it, and I made it to Juilliard School.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes. Yeah.
And you graduated?
I graduated, yes.
What was the final degree?
I got a master's degree there.
Oh, fantastic, John.
Yeah, yes.
So you were already on your way towards your American dream with this graduation.
Right.
How much is music, playing the violin, part of your life today?
How much?
Yeah, are you playing? How is it integrated in your life today?
Well, I think my whole life is just, I always joke around with my friend, I'm married to the violin.
Is it a good partner to you? Good marriage?
Yeah. I think I would say so. So my whole life, just violin, nothing else. That's the only thing I know how to handle it, and I'm good at it.
And you were in Chicago to audition. That's why you were there, right? Tell us about the audition. You were trying to get into the Chicago Opera. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. So since I came back from China, because I left the country for more than a decade, I lost all my contacts in New York City, and the job kind of, replaced by younger people. So the only thing I can find job is just to take auditions, to find a good job to take auditions. But this is a very tough thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Audition is very nerve-wracking.
Tell us more. What makes it so nerve-wracking beyond the very obvious that you're standing in front of people and playing your musical instrument?
Yeah, you just go up there. You have like 10, 15 minutes the most, and you have to play a couple excerpts. And you have to play exactly what they want and no mistake at all. And so to require that skill, you need to practice, like crazily practiced every day.
How do you know what they will ask you to play? Or do you not know? Is that part of the game?
No, they will give you a list of the repertoire you are going to play. So before you go into the audition, they will tell you which piece they will listen to for the first half or for the first round. And then if you pass, then there will be second round and third round, a final round.
I can see why it's nerve-wracking.
Yes.
And
it's like you go to the Olympic Games.
No doubt. And what's it like? Describe the environment for me. So you walk in. I saw that opera house. It's absolutely beautiful building in Chicago.
Yes.
And it's a big building. So what are you looking at when you stand to play those excerpts and waiting for your prompt? What are you looking at? Do you see the judges? What do you see?
No, they didn't held the audition in a big hall. They held it in the rehearsal room. And everything is behind the screen. What? So the only thing we can see is a screen.
Like what?
A black screen.
A black screen?
Yes. They put a black curtain in front of us. Divided to the jury and the players.
And before you come up for your audition, you're what? You're in the lobby waiting for them to call your name?
Yes.
Good grief. So you go into the room, you're seeing this black screen, then what?
Right. And then they would say, okay, welcome. Please start it with the first piece and then go on. And then if you are not good enough, they dismiss you.
What do they say when they dismiss you?
They won't say anything. They will give the final vote after the whole group of people playing, they will give a vote who is going to advance, who is not going to be in the second round. They vote it.
Wow. And this is consistent? This is how most auditions run?
They're always like that.
Wow. And what did you learn yesterday?
Well, what I felt the most is that I need to practice more.
They didn't advance you, right?
Right, right. I make a very tiny mistake, but for them, maybe a big mistake.
What was it? What did you do wrong? Even if we don't understand technically, just go for it.
Let me say this in a technical point.
Mm.
The second piece they asked me to play was 6 flats, and it's very unusual to play a piece like so many flats. I mean, the key of 6 flats. So I started the first note in a slightly flat. So in that case, the rest of the piece, every note, I play a little bit flat. So relatively, everything is related to each other, was in tune. But the whole piece was a little bit too flat, according to the key. Do you understand what
I'm talking about? I do. You described it perfectly, beautifully. Okay. How was that for you, though?
I knew that as soon as I started the piece, I knew, but I didn't want to stop and restart it again. Now I regret that I didn't stop and restart it again. So I just keep going on and then finish the piece. And then at that point, they felt, the whole thing was flat. So they dismissed me.
Goodness me.
Yeah.
So how do you rebound from that? You'll say, now you're looking for the next audition?
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So every time you learn something from the audition and then you improved.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And what a positive way to look at it.
Oh, yes. And everyone who wants to win audition, they have to go through this process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When you're in the moment and trying to calm your nerves for the 12 to 15 minutes that the judges give you, what do you say to yourself? My listeners are often communicating in front of very high-stakes audiences, executives who are impatient and sometimes combative, or my listeners are often job seekers, either looking for an internal promotion or looking outside. And we all get nervous in these moments. How do you stay calm enough to play?
That's a very, very tough question. When I started to take audition again after more than a decade, the first 2 or 3 auditions, I was extremely nervous. Of course, because I haven't taken audition for such a long time and I'm not used to it. So after that, I'm getting a little bit more used to the audition. And then I think I was a little bit more prepared and my skill, my technique improved. So that makes me a little bit more comfortable. But still, I will feel very nervous about this. So a lot of people do different things. One time I took a pill called Indero to lower your heartbeats.
Is it like a beta blocker, like propranolol?
Yes, that kind of thing.
They work. I've used those before.
You use those?
Yeah, not often, but now and then I use them. And when I just know that I'm overly amped up. My mind is ramped up too high, and it does help.
Right. But before, when I went back to China, like more than decades ago, when I did audition, I took it and it helps. And then I win a couple auditions at a time.
Wow.
And then after I came back from China, and I remember one time I was doing audition, I took it, I felt really uncomfortable. So I thought maybe something different in my body or something. So since then, I never took it again.
Good move. It's better if we can self-soothe.
Yeah.
I've only used it a few times myself, but I like to know that it's there as a backup. I think you're correct. It's better to self-soothe. So what do you do now?
I take a banana, maybe.
A banana?
Yes. People said that helps.
Really?
I don't know if it's true or not, but I just took it.
Interesting. I'm going to research that. Yes. Maybe it's something in the potassium.
Yeah. That's a lot of people did the same thing. They take a banana before the audition. And a lot of people said that helps.
Get out of here. That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, but for me, I don't feel that much difference. But I still take it anyway.
So what do you say to yourself? Do you self-soothe and say, there, John? Or what do you think about?
Yeah. Sometimes if I really, really prepare well, I get more nervous because I really want to do well. But sometimes if I'm not so ready, just like yesterday or the day before yesterday when I did the Chicago Opera audition, I felt I was not completely ready. So I was not so nervous, actually. So it's kind of opposite for me. But I would still think you have to prepare and repeat the piece you're going to play over and over again under any kind of circumstances. Just like, for instance, you woke up in the middle of the night and pick up the violin and play, run through the whole thing without any mistake, and then go back to sleep. Things like that. So you have to be prepared like more than 100%. Then probably you will do a little bit better in the audition.
Beautiful. Thank you. So it's repetition, yes, being prepared, but not overly preparing, because otherwise you'll spook yourself.
No, you need to over-prepare, actually.
Okay, so you do need to over-prepare.
Yeah, you need to over-prepare, but I have to say, not just prepare well, you need to over-prepare. If you just prepare like 100%, maybe you feel more nervous, but you have to prepare like 200%, 300%. You probably deduct a little bit when you go up there, but still, you still maintain a good high standard of playing.
I can see why you're married to your violin.
Yes.
This requires a lot of attention and love and devotion.
Oh yeah, you have to 100% devoted to it. Yeah,
well,
you cannot skip anything. Yeah.
Well, and it reminds me a little bit of, there was a sweet spot in my professorial career when I taught in universities, where I suddenly realized I knew the content well enough to speak to it like it was air. By that, yes, I mean, I knew so much about the information I was teaching or sharing with either a corporate or an academic audience. Right. I knew it back to front. I knew it upside down, right, left or right. And I had endless amount of anecdotes to pull from to, right, if anyone asked me a question or if I wanted to expand or I wanted to go off track and, yes, be really creative with a metaphor, right, or a story. I wonder if that's, yeah, is that the same feeling that you're describing? Like, know it so well.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
There's room for, yeah, serendipity. There's room for interruption. Yes. It won't,
yes,
take you off your game.
Right. You need to prepare more than they want, more than you can do, or more than you're capable can make it.
That's, yeah, so beautiful.
Yeah. When you go up there, it's only a few minutes, but anything can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you have to prepare much, much more, and in case anything happened, you have a room to go.
Well, you've explained it beautifully, John, and you've taken us to the scene. Would you humor us and honor us with playing a little of your excerpts for us today?
Oh, sure, sure.
Please do.
I'm not going to play the excerpts for the orchestra audition, but some excerpts from standard violin repertoire. Is that okay?
Anything is okay.
Sure, okay. Maybe I just play a little bit of the Mendelssohn on Song of the Wind?
Yes, please.
Right. Okay.
It's beautiful. I'm holding my phone. Otherwise, I would be applauding. It is absolutely beautiful, John. Thank you so much. Thank you. How do you feel when you play?
You mean right now?
Yeah, when you play your violin, how do you feel?
I was not warming up and my hand is a little bit dry, so a little bit uncomfortable while I was playing. But at the end, it's getting better because I warm up a little bit more.
Oh.
But okay, it's not an audition, so.
Well, it was absolutely wonderful. But I hear happiness when you play. Am I feeling that right?
Yes, yes. Exactly right.
Yes. Yeah. Very calm, very centered.
Right. It's called the Song Without Words. Mendelssohn composed this piece called Song Without Words. But people put words in it and then give it as a song. So people sometimes can sing it.
Absolutely, yeah. Stunning. Ladies and gentlemen, we've had with us John Chang. John, as we say goodbye today, and thank you again for your gracious time and your beautiful playing of the violin. Do you have any guidance for my listeners who are often struggling to find time for things that bring them bliss? How would you encourage others to find something that brings them joy to help bring them calm and bliss?
In my opinion, I think there's so many beautiful things out there. So always look at the positive side of the world. Don't look at the negative side of the world. That doesn't mean anything. Don't emphasize on the negative side. So just do anything can make you feel happy.
Beautiful wisdom. Couldn't have said it better myself, John. I'm really glad that we sat opposite each other at La Quinta's breakfast buffet yesterday. And it was a pleasure and honor having you on our show. Good luck, John Chang, for your future auditions.
Thank you very much, Debbie.
Thank you. You take good care.
Oh, you too.
You've been listening to The Sage Sayers. Thank you to my coaches for inspiring every episode. Thank you also to my excellent producer, Dota Nayini, and my friend, of course, who brings elegant edits every time. And if you'd like to reach out to me for coaching, training, or to become a guest on the show, email me at hangingrockmedia@gmail.com. Visit my website, hangingrockcoaching.com, or you can find me on LinkedIn via the show notes. Bye-bye for now. Oh,